Amen. Why don't we all stand? I gave my salute when Bishop called me because I'm remembering Veterans Day. And I noticed some of you are in that attire. Actually, this brother came up with with the American flag. So happy Veterans Day to those who served. And we really appreciate your dedication and your service to our country. Amen. But more than that, we thank you all for serving the Lord, for the freedom that we all obtained. Amen. There's one veteran back there over 2,000 years ago who fought for all of us and died on the cross. Amen. Hallelujah. All of our respect towards him. Not only on today's occasion, but every day, everybody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Why don't we pray for a few moments and let's ask for the leading of God's Spirit and the anointing not only my lips, but to every ear and every heart. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yamashiki yarabahanda rabaka. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. God bless you. Praise God. I'm just going with a lot of scriptures coming to my mind and trying to weigh in the spirit what God wants to bring to us today. Amen. Last Friday, I came across with a bishop retweeting Bishop Wright's post or in Twitter, and it was in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It was in verse 4. Or in verse 3, actually. It says, you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, and are you not carnal and walk as men? And I believe the Apostle Paul was addressing the issue on the Corinthian church. It's the Corinthian church where, you know, we all have the label for that kind of church is a church that's divided. A church who's immature, a church who's envying, and there are stripes among them, and so the Apostle Paul tried to address to them in a nature to where he could not address to them in a spiritual, level, because this church is being addressed as a carnal church. Carnal church. Now, when he spoke about this church being carnal, I want us to remember the previous chapter in that, chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. He was talking about these two other kinds of man. There's the natural man, and there's the spiritual man. Now, the natural man, he said they could not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They could not receive it. They could not understand it. For them, you know, their foolishness. It's vain. It's, you know, they have no interest. They have no desire. They don't want to even listen to it because they don't see it. They could not penetrate through it. They could not absorb it in their mind and understand it. Amen. So he said they could not even understand it. But the spiritual man, not only that he could understand things, but no man could judge a spiritual man. Amen. It's only by his spirit that he is able to discern things in the spirit, for which the natural man could not. We remember that passage where the Apostle Paul says, eyes have not seen or ears have heard, neither enter into the hearts of man. Amen. Those are the things that is promised only for those people whom God revealed it through the Spirit. The natural man could not grasp it. You remember how we try to witness to people and try to talk to them about the Scripture, and no matter how we try to bring it in the best dialogue or in the best conversation or using all, you know, the Scriptures, and we know it's the truth where we were once delivered and we all understood it's the truth. But when you speak it to the natural man, you wonder why they're not getting it. You wonder why it's so simple. You read to them Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall, and you talk to them about the promise of the Holy Ghost. You talk to them about the blessing of the Holy Spirit in the life of a person, and they don't get it. You talk to them about John chapter 3, about except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom or see the kingdom of God. And for them, it's like they will look at you with a blank stare and, what are you talking about? Because we are talking to a natural man. Amen. But he that is spiritual, amen, he can see things and understand things in the spirit. Amen. Because the spiritual man has the mind of Christ. Amen. They could not see and understand the mind of Christ because they do not have the mind of Christ. Talking about the natural man. So that's the natural man. And the spiritual man, we understand it fully for most of us or all of us here. Because we do things in the spirit. When we sing, we do not sing in the natural. We sing it from our spirit. Amen. There is that something flowing from the inside that is communicating to the spirit of our Creator, of our God. And so it's the spirit to spirit communicating. And next thing we see is the move of the spirit, the manifestation of the spirit of God in our lives. Once we start opening up and communicating to the spirit of God, then we see miracles. Then we see wonders. Then we see the blessings of God in the life of the people. And if you have that Spirit of God, and if you are communed or engaged or connected with God, you can easily tell in a person next to you if he's engaged in the same Spirit. Because through the Spirit that is in you, you become spiritual. You are in that level where you can understand each other. Amen. With the same spirit that is in you. And we're all actually baptized into that same spirit. Although different parts of the body, different upbringing, different culture, different, you know, different status. But because of that same spirit, we all are a witness to one another. Understanding each other. so I could be here and talk to you and minister to you from the Word of God and the Spirit with, you know, with me. I don't feel like a foreigner. I don't feel like I'm an outcast. I don't feel like I do not belong. Actually, I feel home. You are my brother. Yes. You are my sister. We are one family because we are all baptized into that same Spirit. Yes. Hallelujah. And so when we all sing in one accord, in one heart, in one spirit, amen, it's just a beautiful atmosphere that we develop. That doesn't happen out there, outside of this building. Amen. Unless we find a group and we group together and we do the same thing in one spirit. Praise God. That's when we try to be spiritual. When we try to be spiritual. But there are times that we are not. You say, I have the Spirit of God. I have Jesus in me. I have that regenerated, the changed spirit, converted spirit in me. I'm born again. Why you say, sometimes I'm not spiritual? Well, that's when you have to distinguish. You find a distinction between the soul and the spirit in you. Amen. And I feel like I want to go there a little bit later, but let me just try to establish the fact that sometimes we act in the natural, we live in the natural, the lifestyle we live after church is we tend to be in that side and engage in that side and communicate in that side and fellowship in that nature. In the natural. And then when it comes to prayer meeting, when it comes to church time, it's like we left the presence of God, or we left the spirituality from that nature, and then we are returning. We are returning. Like we've been somewhere, wandering in different places, and then coming back in a church atmosphere, in a church gathering like this. Amen. We are returning to where we left off. It's like we came to the altar and pray and felt the awesome presence of God and then communicated with God and then left the altar and for a while and then returned. But when we have a relationship with God, our religion is not our religion, what we believe is not on the routine or what do you call it, practices or traditions that we only come to church, you know, when we have church day. We come to prayer meeting only when it's prayer meeting time. But if we are not stuck in the tradition or in the natural means, we can have prayer meeting every day. We can have church every day. We can be in the altar every day because we have a relationship with Him. He is in us. Amen. The Spirit of God is in us. So we don't leave and wander away and then come back anytime. No, we are engaged with Him. We have that relationship with Him. We can have that intimacy with Him when we need to. But sometimes we wonder how we draw the line. And so a lot of Christians get confused and, you know, do not understand it well. How to live a life successfully being spiritual or living or walking in the Spirit or living for God on a consistent basis is because they have a hard time drawing the line between the soul and the spirit. Let me try this. a man, as we all know, we're, what do you call it? Tripod, right? What do you call it? What's the term for that? We're three parts in this body. What's that? Tripod? Trinity? All right. Three parts. We're body, soul, and spirit. Right? Okay, that's clear. Sometimes, you know, we get lost in translation. The same way we live as a Christian. We get lost in translation. We don't know how to live. We don't know how to communicate. We don't know how to express things. Amen. But if we understand at least the basic, what we are and how we live and where we focus, amen, it's a little easier. Like if a man is body, soul, and spirit, you can interact and live a lifestyle only focused in one nature. For the body. Your concern is for the body. You live a life to where you only think of what you put in this body, what you wear and how you look like and what is pleasing to the eyes of the people. We can focus on that. But then we also have the soul. The soul is what you and me. These are the five senses that we have. The soul is the seat of our will, our emotion, and our thoughts, our mind. That is the soul. Now, a lot of people having a hard time to distinguish or to identify the difference between the soul and spirit. The body is all understandable. It's so basic. It's the box. It's the outer, you know, the outermost nature in the body, in the man. But the soul is the middle part. Beneath the soul or underneath the soul is the spirit. Now, the spirit is from the innermost being of us. It's like three parts. Like we put our clothes on, you know, there is the inward part, there's the outer part, but there's the outermost part, which is the body. It's just the box. It profits nothing. It's what is going on inside that we see reflecting or manifesting in the box, in the outward. Amen. But if you live in the spirit, we need to understand it's not about living how the soul lives, because the soul have a different agenda compared to the spirit. Our spirit back then, before we know or we came to know the Lord, is the sinful spirit. It's the same spirit that once Adam and Eve had in the beginning when they fell into sin. Right? Now, I'm just laying a little foundation here so I can go somewhere to where I want to establish. I hope that's okay with you all. So when God created man, he breathed the breath of life into Adam's nostrils. And then when that spirit entered into that body, a soul was produced, or that body became a living soul. But the soul of the body is different from the spirit that God breathes into man. That spirit is conscious to God. That spirit is connected to God because it came from God. Right? But when Adam and Eve fell into sin, that spirit got corrupted. We fell into sin. And so everybody who was born into that source from Adam and Eve, we are all sinners, like in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. And all of us, you know, suffers death, which is basically, you know, the death of the spirit. We got disconnected with God. But when we were born again, now that kind of spirit is still the spirit of the natural man out there. That's why they could not grasp. They could not understand. They could not fathom what you're trying to portray from the Word of God, even if you try to do it in the spirit, because they're disconnected. Their spirit is corrupted, right? But when a person is born again, the spirit inside, the innermost part being of the person, the spirit body or the spirit nature was regenerated. It's changed. It's converted. It's the spirit of God and the spirit of man mingled. And so that spirit is the spirit that's helping us how to live a Christian life. That spirit is helping us how to live a victorious life. That spirit is the spirit that's helping us how to live a life of peace and joy. Amen. Where it all originates from the Spirit of God. Right? So if we live in the Spirit, the Bible says, if we live by the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit. How do we walk in the Spirit? We live by the Spirit. But how do we live by the Spirit? We have to possess that fruit of the Spirit. The manifestation of the Spirit in the body or in the life of a person is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Amen. This is how a spiritual person lives. This is how an overcoming life portrays. Amen. Because that man is living in the Spirit or walking in the Spirit, because he's possessing the manifestation of the Spirit. Amen. The spiritual life. The spiritual life. The spiritual life. Amen. Now, sometimes we're having a hard time, even when it comes to worship time, we're having a hard time connecting to God with our spirit. Even when we pray, we kneel down, we want to cry to God, we want to feel the Spirit of God, and we're not feeling it. We don't feel a connection because we wandered away, we went away, and then we're returning. That relationship is on and off. Amen. We're connected, we're disconnected, we're connected, we're disconnected. That's what religion is. We're stuck in the protocol. We're stuck in the routine. Amen. We need to come because it's church day. We need to pray because it's prayer meeting. We need to sing songs because it's time to sing. What about if the church is not singing songs? What about if the church is not having a prayer meeting? What about if the church is not having a service like this? Amen. Then you're not doing it. Then you're stuck in religion that way. But if we claim to have a relationship with God being established, we're having church every day. When we pray, we're still connected. We didn't go away and returning, you know, like a religion thing. No, because, you know, like my spouse and I, you know, she's my spouse. Every now and then. I mean, always, of all times. It's not on and off thing. Like when she leaves the house going to work, she's not my wife. I don't have a relationship with her anymore. If we claim to have an established relationship with someone, then in whatever situation, in whatever circumstance, in wherever we go in different ways, we're still connected. We still have that relationship. That relationship is still established. Amen. Hallelujah. Not only when you meet each other, okay, so now we are husband and wife again. The same thing in our walk with God. Our relationship is not on and off. Amen. We pray every day because we want our spirit, you know, to live like that. Amen. Because we live in God. And so we want to stay connected with God. But when we focus on the soul, with what the mind think, and our emotion, and our will, it's easy for us to get lost and could get confused and get disconnected because we focus on the soul. Amen. Those two different things is very vital. It's very important. It's very basic for a Christian life. If we don't understand it, we stay in the carnal nature because even though we are regenerated in our spirit, even though we are born again in the kingdom of God, but the flesh, the soul, is our motivation, it's our focus, it's how we live the most. With what we feel is right, or with what we think, with our emotions. It's very easy for a person, for a Christian, to be led by emotion or be led by, you know, by his own thinking, the natural thoughts, or be led by his own will. Amen. You can see a person singing songs, but, you know, it's only him or the spiritual man can identify if that person is engaged in the Spirit of God or it's just the soul talking. It can be just the soul praying and the spirit is disengaged. Sometimes it takes a while for us to have a breakthrough. I think that's the reason why we do a lot of preliminaries in the church service. We do songs and, you know, encourage everybody to worship the Lord and we do a lot of things to promote the spiritual atmosphere. It's because a lot of people, they wandered away and they need to return. And we help them to return. And so we try to establish an atmosphere to where the people or the person can have a breakthrough through the soul from his inward being, the spirit. And so that spirit will express itself and communicate to the Spirit of God. Amen. And when that happens, we are being liberated. We are feeling blessed. We are feeling, the love of God, the Spirit of God, the glory of God. We are feeling the hand of God in us. I could be preaching, and my preaching is motivated fully by just what I think or what I have in my writings and what I memorized in my thoughts. But apart from my spirit, and if you're spiritual, it's very easy for you to identify if I'm talking just in the natural from the soul. Bishop always say, how many times I'm hearing, you know, preachers from the pulpit. And when you listen, it's all about flesh. I mean, your spirit doesn't feel like connecting to the spirit. Because only the spirit, you know, is able to touch the spirit. That's when the ministry happens. Amen. When the spirit is able to connect to the spirit from the Spirit of God. Amen. The Spirit in you, you become a channel. You become a conduit. Amen. And so you are able to connect. You are able to reach and touch the spirit of another person. But when a person is trying to connect only in the natural, from the soul, from the emotion, from the thought, from the will, sometimes it's just, you know, what do you call it? Cognitive ministry that we do. Mind to mind. Mind to mind. Well, it helps us in the knowledge to understand things. But make sure we have the spirit that subdues the mind. And that spirit motivates. That spirit overpowers. That spirit dominates and trying to reach another person in his spirit. So that the person in his spirit will be touched and will be blessed and will feel the word of God and will feel the blessing and what God is trying to convey. Amen. And so Paul, when he addressed the Corinthian church in chapter 3, he was like saying, I wish I could talk to you in spiritual matters, in spiritual level, but you are yet carnal. I can only feed you with milk, because if I try to feed you with meat, you cannot bear it, you cannot take it. Because the Corinthian church is focused soul mostly in the soul and the outward body. So he was like saying, I wish. Although he said, I did not come to talk to you in the excellency of speech, you know, with all the fancy words and the things that, you know, the things that I wanna teach you, but he said it has to be from the power and the wisdom of God. He has to talk and minister to them spiritually. But even though they're church already, even though they are born again people already, he still could not communicate to them in a level to where he can convey the deep things of God. Because they're still babies. Babies because their lifestyle, although they have the regenerated spirit, their lifestyle is being motivated mostly by the soul. By the soul. So what did Paul say in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12? For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the divine asunder of the soul and spirit. There must be a separation. There must be a distinction. And the Word of God is accomplishing. The Word of God is helping us to live a life that we separate and we understand what is for the soul and what is for the spirit. Amen. If we want to be fed by the Spirit of God, then we open our heart or our spirit to receive the Spirit of God. But it's not for the soul. Amen. The soul is how we do things basic. Like when we try to do things, we don't have to think or analyze or evaluate, is this the Spirit of God? Is this the will of the Spirit of God? Or am I doing this in God's will? There are things that we do, and I think Brother Johnston mentioned earlier, you know, sometimes we try to do things, you know, in the spiritual, but sometimes it's because the spiritual man is living a life. His spirit is being fed. His spirit is dominating. His spirit is subduing the soul. It's the soul that is subjected to the spirit, not the soul overpowering the spirit. We were shopping yesterday, my wife and I, with Darlene. And there are things we needed to decide. And my wife will ask me, you know, for a better choice. In those kinds of things, you don't have to decide whether what is the Spirit saying. Let me tell you what God says. This one. I got a good deal. We were at the rack yesterday, and the price tag was $500, Brother John, Elder. $500. Oh, instantaneously. Amen. By instinct. No. You don't have to consult from the inside in the spiritual. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do, right? But when I saw the reduction, like scratched off, you know the price, when you see it, scratched off 500, scratched off to 350, scratched off, you know, 280, scratched off 150. I kept going and reading, like, it went down to $71. And I did my calculation. Wow, let me see if it makes sense. If this is a worth buy. 85% off? Where do you see that? So you're like, this is God's will. Actually, God has nothing to do with that. Amen. Oh, thank you very much, sir. So, what I'm saying is, there are things we decide in the soul. The things that we don't need to consult in the spirit. We don't need to weigh between the soul and the spirit choice of things. Amen. It's a given. What is for the soul is for the soul. What is for the spirit is for the spirit. But it's very important for us to distinguish the separation, the division of the two. They are not the same. We don't want to confuse our life to live what is motivated by the soul, also, although it's by our thoughts and by our will and by emotion. Sometimes we cry too loud. Sometimes we pour out our emotion too much. But when our emotion fades, we're done not feeling the presence of God anymore. Amen. Sometimes our happiness is way out there. It's like, woo-hoo. But when the happiness fades, we don't even feel the presence of God anymore. That is when we are motivated only in those things and the soulish activity. Remember, the soul is the seat of emotion, the will, and the thought. Amen. So if your life is motivated by these things, your soul, because you're a soul, of course, but you are becoming soulish. Soulish. We are becoming soulish. Amen. But when we subdue that and put under subjection to the Spirit and allow the Spirit of God to live through us, to surface from this outward nature, amen, then we become spiritual. Then they will see the fruit of the Spirit. Then they will know that you live by the Spirit. And then it's easy for you to walk in the Spirit because you are motivated by your inward nature, the spiritual nature. And so there are things that you identify. This happiness. Is this happiness coming only from the soul, or this happiness coming from the Spirit? Amen. When Jesus said, blessed are they who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, because they shall be filled. Amen. That happiness is not just a soulish happiness. It is a spiritual happiness. That's when you separate happiness and joy. Joy is from the inward. And so Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. Because that joy is coming from the innermost part being. It's the spiritual joy. It's not an outward joy. It's not the kind of happiness that when that happiness fades, then you lose your strength from the Lord. Then you lose your connection and your spirituality in the Lord. Because it's outward happiness. But we want our happiness, no matter what happens, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what's going on in our economy, no matter what's happening in the last days, amen, we still have intact. We still have that in, you know, that established because we have the joy of the Lord that gives us the strength. The motivation is in the inside. Amen. Hallelujah. It's in the inside. When Paul says, we have this treasure in earthen vessel. We have this treasure in earthen vessel. I believe he's not talking about the soul. Inside this earthen vessel. I believe Paul is talking about this nature that we received from God. The Apostle Paul's talking about that inward nature that is joined by the Spirit of God, regenerated, changed, converted. The spiritual life that we have. Amen. What did Paul say? I think that's in, is that 2 Corinthians 4? Take a look at that real quick. Second Corinthians 4, verse 7. Yeah. He said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side. What's being troubled? The earthen vessel, with the soul, with our minds, with our emotion, with our will. Amen. We get affected by that, but not the Spirit, not the treasure in the earthen vessel. That's your treasure. Amen. That's your life. That's what saved you. That's what brings you to that eternal life. That's what communes you with God. That precious treasure inside the earthen vessel that most of the times Christians do not understand, and they put it aside and they live in according to the direction and the leading of the soul. The soul, what they think, what their emotion says, what their will is leading them to do. But the treasure that wants to break out from within, that the people will need to feel and see. Amen. Sometimes, I think that's what happens when the Apostle Paul is addressing the Corinthian church. Amen. He wants them to grow from that regenerated spirit. Amen. Being a baby to maturity, to understand things in the spirit. Amen. This may be boring to some because you got that established in you. You know it. You know it's basic. But to many Christians, they need help on this. Because they don't know. They have a hard time separating and distinguishing between the soul and the spirit. Amen. Sometimes we read the Bible and we get it started. We force it and let it penetrate the mind, and it's all in the mind. I encode the scripture chapter by chapter, but it's only in the mind. But I can convey the word of God with the spirit. Amen. That's when the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. Amen. If we're just engaged in letters, it's not helping us for anything. But if we're engaged in the spirit, amen. Try it yourself when you go out there and communicate and do things. Try to allow yourself to be led by that spirit from inside of you. And not just what the soul thinks, what the soul feels. Amen. So when we come to church, it doesn't take long before there's a breakthrough among us, because we're already, we didn't wander away, we didn't leave and just returning from a long journey. A lot of Christians come to church so dry. He's born again. Why? Because he is living in the soul. That's what Paul says, carnality. Carnality. Amen. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. Amen. Say, what do you mean not destroyed? This flesh gets destroyed. This flesh gets hurt. But not the spirit. Paul is talking about the treasure. Brother, you have that treasure in that vessel. It's not in the middle part being of your person. It's in the innermost part. It's the spirit. You see, sometimes it's hard for us to get that out because it's coming from deep within. It has to break through the soul and the box and the body to come out. Sometimes we have to pray hard and pray a long time before we feel God's connected with our spirit. Sometimes we have to sing a lot of songs first before we feel that we are engaged in the spirit of God. Because it takes a while sometimes, because you've been so far away, engaged in your soul and in your activities in many days, and then coming back to church. And it takes a while to penetrate from the inside of you, your spirit, to break through the soul and the body. Amen. But if you've already been broken, amen. When you've already been broken, every time you feel the need, every time you get a situation being led by the Spirit of God, you know, sometimes you see a person when he's in the crowd, all of a sudden he's just crying. I'm with that person one time in the bus and with a friend, and said, "Why are you crying?" He said, "You see all these people? If they're not saved, they're all going to hell." I'm like, "What? Why don't I see that? Why don't I feel that?" Because he's broken. His spirit feels the lost spirits inside the bus. Being sensitive to the spirit of God. See, in the spiritual realm, You can feel the spirit wherever you go. Like Bishop was saying when he was in Idaho. Amen. The battles that we fight, mostly it's not a battle of the flesh or of the soul. Sometimes it's a spiritual battle. Amen. I guess the key, trying to find a I've been trying to find a way to end this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Honestly, I really want to end this because I know my time is up. Can we just pray for a moment? Let's pray. I want your spirit to break through the soul and the body and just reach out to God. Come on. I want you to harness that soul to be in subjection to your spirit, the spirit of God in you. And so I want you to pray under the leading of God's spirit in you. Come on. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. God wants me to tell you that unless you are broken, God cannot perform through you. God cannot minister through you. God cannot manifest through you unless you are broken in your soul. Amen. That sometimes God allows a person to break. There are some breaking points that lead a person to his greatest miracle, to his greatest victory, when he finds himself broken. And sometimes God would put that in the path of a person. Because if a person is not broken, God knows you are not getting help. There is the power, the treasure in you that's locked inside. Because we have the power of the will. We decide and we choose. Even if God wants us to read the Word of God and listen to the Word of God, but our will and our thoughts can shut it off. God wants to break the will and the thoughts and the emotions sometimes. And God allows circumstances and situations to happen in a person. So to break the will and the emotion and the thought pattern. And so that person can depend and totally rely on the Spirit, on God. I feel like there's some people who here today who needs, who's going through that, And God is wanting you to understand you needed that. Because God wants to have an intimate relationship with your spirit. And wants that spirit to come out of you and live that life out there. For a Johnstone.
In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hidararabarabahaye. Hidararabasiarorobarabahaye. Hidararanorobarabahaye. Keep praying. While you're praying, will you throw Galatians 3, 1 through 3 up on the screen? In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hidararabasharorobaye. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hidararabasororobararabahaye. Idearoronde ararabasi diararabarorobarabahakiaroboriadabaye. Paul wrote to the church, he said, "You're foolish Galatians, foolish. Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only what I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" He's asking rhetorical questions here. Of course not. You started out in the Spirit. When Brother Loxamana was teaching here, I saw the analogy of a blank slate that my children were when they were born into this world. And I can blame everybody I want to blame today for who they are and some of their personality traits and the things that they do. But I look and I see on a daily basis some of who they are because of me. They were a blank slate when I got them, but I allowed them to behave in certain ways, and I let them get away with certain things. And so by the process of time and by default, they just become who they are today. And when I was a new babe in Christ, I was a blank slate. I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I came to God. I knew nothing about him. Somebody witnessed to me, and I came in, and God gloriously filled me with the Holy Ghost, and my life began in that moment in the Spirit. That was all I knew. What happened, Paul said? You started in the Spirit. You were filled with the Spirit. You began that process as a blank slate walking in the Spirit. And then over the process of time, it just becomes easier to trust in your flesh. Pray in the flesh. Worship in the flesh. Minister in the flesh. It's such a slippery slope, but it didn't start there. Nobody comes in one day and says, "You know, I can do all this in my flesh." That's not where it starts, Randy. It starts in the Spirit, and then we gradually say, "Well, I can do this. I know some scriptures. I can quote them." And we slowly begin to rely on understanding. Well, I'm a smart person. I've read a lot of books, and I rely more and more on my understanding. You mean you can read the Bible with your understanding? Yeah, you can read the Bible with your understanding, or you can really read the Bible in the Spirit and receive revelation and understanding that only comes from the Spirit. If all I do is read the Bible from a place of a book, I can even read the Bible from a place of the Word of God, believing it is the infallible Word of God, and I can read it, and I can read it, and I can read it, and I can take it in. I may be able even to recite it, and may be able to enter into an argumentative discussion about it. But if I don't ever accompany my reading of the Word of God with prayer and reading together, reading something and then praying and asking the Holy Ghost to reveal things to me, allowing His Spirit to do a work in me through the written word. It's just a book and I'm just filling time and I'm operating in the flesh. I want us to stand together. The musicians would come. We have an opportunity today. If we begin, as Paul wrote to the church, in Galatians here, if we began in the Spirit, and we all did. There's not a soul in here today that didn't start in the Spirit. And we've slowly, through the process of time, gravitated toward the flesh. We've been relying on our flesh, relying on our understanding. There is no time like the present from the word of God spoken here today to get back in the spirit. How do I get back to that place of living in the spirit? By spending time in the spirit, by praying in the spirit. Pushing everything else out of my mind, pushing everything else out of my understanding and saying, Father, I want to be enveloped by your spirit today. I want your spirit to baptize me once again. I want to be led of your spirit. I want my inspiration to come from your spirit, not from my own understanding, not because I can come up with good ideas, but let your spirit be my inspiration. Let it be my utterance. There's some of you today that your spirit's crying out within you right now because you know, you recognize, I want that place. I want that place in God. I don't want to walk from my understanding. I don't want to come from a place of my flesh. I don't want to operate in the flesh. I want to operate in the spirit. And your spirit's crying out for that today. I'm going to invite you to participate in that. I'm going to invite you to give way to that right now. Whether it's in your seat or up here at the front, both are fine. But would you respond to what you're feeling right now? That is the drawing of his spirit upon you. Come back to a place of walking in the spirit. Come back to a place of operating in the spirit in your life, in your ministry. That's what he's calling you to. That's what he's drawing you back to today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. My desire, Father, is to be led of you. My desire, Father, is to be led of you today. In the name of Jesus. I desire not to walk in the flesh, but after your spirit, Father. I don't desire to be led of my flesh, of my understanding. I don't want to operate from a place of my understanding, but I want to operate in the spirit, Father, in everything that I do. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed.
Within me today,
help
Jesus.
Me know you.
Stir your spirit within me today, Father.
You're
hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
You're all
hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
I want. You're all I've ever needed. Help me know you I need.
In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.
You're all I want. You're all I need. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Thank you.
If you're involved in ministry in any shape or form in Life Church, Life Church Puyallup, Life Church Kent, if you teach Sunday school, if you're involved in the music ministry, if you're involved in teaching ministry, I want you to come to the front right now, all across this front, and stand.